The House Natural Resources Committee meeting will begin now at 6:04. We have with us Representative Birch, Representative Tallarico, Representative Rauscher, Representative Drummond, Representative Johnson, Vice Chair Westlake, Co-Chair Tarr, and Co-Chair Josephson. The subject of today's evening meeting is House Bill 6 on the Jonesville public use area. We are going to resume testimony. There's not a ton of it, but it's there. And then we're going to take the bill and amendments. That's the current plan. So I will start by going to Mr. Jim Sykes. Mr. Sykes, it's Andy Josephson. Are you available to testify?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Tell us your name.
My name is Jim Sykes, and I am speaking as the district representative to the Matsu Borough Assembly, which this proposal takes place. And I'm also speaking for the Assembly because we passed unanimously passed a resolution in support of this legislation.
Wow. Okay. And go ahead and give us your testimony.
Thank you very much. Good evening, Co-Chair Josephson and Tarr and other members of the committee. I hope that you will move this bill and approve it. I know there are some amendments, but basically most of the land around the community of Sutton is public land, and most of that is DNR's under DNR's purview. And so what we really need, you may have read about, if you read the resolution, you saw some of the problems that I've already know were testified to, and I think we've got a good solution. We've got a serious problem, but if we can provide the framework, which is what the public use area will do, the state, the borough, the community, law enforcement, all these agencies have a focus on which to try and change the culture into something that is largely seen as negative right now and is negative, but in much the same way we hope to change what's going on at Sutton that we have already changed at Kinnick River, Tim Creek area, which also happens to be in my district. But it is something that works when you focus on providing services that are meaningful. Flipper Lake would make a great place for a campground. And once that's installed and you have something that people can go there for and feel safe and do the other activities, a designated shooting range, a picnic area, hikes, ATV, whatever, it can become a family-friendly kind of use area. And so the framework is the first step towards this. I did hear Mr. Lapine testify that he thought sections, I believe it was 3 and 4, might be better put in the management plan than in the legislation. The Assembly only considered the resolution as the original draft of the legislation, but I don't think there would be any heartburn with putting it in the management plan if that's what you want to do, because it does allow for more flexibility. I don't think it makes a lot of difference, but it is very, very important. The borough, I do want to commend the community. I want to commend Mr. Rauscher, who is now your representative on your committee, for the amount of time and energy he put in there as a member of his community council and the chair of the Jonesville Flipper Lake Committee. And I would also like to mention one other person whose name is Dylan Busby. He was a sophomore in high school, and he made this his close-up project. And so I would say that this has widespread community support. The borough has put a lot of effort into this and has told DNR that they will work with DNR to help create the management plan and allow everybody to work together for something that will be better. And so I encourage you to pass this on to the next committee, and I think it solves a serious problem and a very minimally cost. It's not going to cost a lot to do this, and I encourage it, and thank you very much for your support.
Yes, Mr. Sykes, question from Representative Rauscher.
Thank you, through the chair. And this question may not make a whole lot of sense right now, but I think it's probably going to come into play later. The community of Sutton, you represent it as an assembly member for the Mat-Su Borough, and the community council, which represents the community in matters that have to do with government. I was wondering, your definition of their performance as far as watching out after the community, being able to put together with the Mat-Su Borough and the DNR, their ability to put together a good management plan should this PUA be adopted in the future. Do you see them being able to call a good, responsible management plan to facilitate for their area? And I guess this is a question that's probably going to come up later as far as the management plan goes in the future.
Sure. Thank you, Representative Rauscher, through the chair. I would like to, you should have as part of your record a letter from the land management director of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough, Eric Phillips. And they have done this at Kinnick River. They're prepared to commit staff time to help do this. They've already, the planning department has already spent some time, and they're willing to work with whatever the requirements of are for DNR to put into their scope of needs as it goes. But yes, the Mat-Su Borough has an interest in seeing this area improved for its citizens, and we do have one parcel of land up there that is dilapidated, that has suffered some of the same difficulties that Jonesville Mines Upper Lake area has as well. So the land manager has enthusiastically supported this. He wrote the letter with the permission of the borough manager, and so it's seen as an area that could potentially pay for itself if the thing is set up right, and it's something that people want to go to, and they feel safe doing it. And so that commitment is already out there, and it's I think it should be part of your record, and I think it's going to happen because people want it to happen.
Yes, follow up.
Yeah. And on a different note, the Kinnick public use area, a lot of this plan was fashioned after that. And so looking at the evolution of the, I think it was a 9-year process there, this is a starting point. Do you see that was a good idea, the Kinnick management plan, and that if you follow that formula right through with this one, to have been a good place to have fashioned this plan after?
Through the chair to Representative Rauscher, yes, I think it's been quite successful, and actually there was a previous plan. I forget whether it was on the Kenai Peninsula or Kodiak, but it was someplace that started with K that had done something like this before Kinnick River did it. Plan. So this is not the first of its type. But the 9 years ago, I wouldn't visit the area myself, much less take my family. And now you're seeing you can't even find a burned out car anymore. I mean, it's just not there because the community, the people who use the area are now coming together every summer to do a community cleanup as we do around here. But they kind of got into a competition to make sure all the vehicles, all the burned radial tires and everything else, garbage, got taken out. And this summer, the first what is called a learning loop, there's beginning, immediate, intermediate, and more advanced, it's a trail system of loops that people can learn to ride ATVs at a slow and safe speed. And a campground is going in near that trailhead, so it's evolved from a place that was simply out of control partying and lawlessness to a place that is it is a place that you want now to visit. And the borough did have certainly a lot to do with that plan, but the other thing the borough had is 350 acres of adjoining property, too, so there was some self-interest there. But it worked out, and I hope we don't go backwards. I hope it serves as a good template for what there is in Sutton. Of course, it's a little bit different situation, but the same sort of stuff was happening, and it is a desirable place to come and recreate. My wife and I hiked Esca Falls Trail a couple of years ago, where you can see all of the craziness that goes on. We hiked the foot trail, and seeing people with homemade shooting ranges that were sometimes pointed sort of at each other was just not a real good feeling. And if we can sort of get some grasp and control of it and designate some areas for things to happen, people will generally go along with it, and that changes the culture. So I think that's the plus of the plan, if you will.
I'm good. Thank you.
Representative Johnson for Mr. Sykes.
Well, hello, Mr. Sykes. It's a pleasure to hear your voice. It feels like hearing from home a little bit. Anyway, I truly appreciate you weighing in tonight and appreciate your perspective. I know that you were instrumental in getting the other management plan in place, or area, I guess, and knowing that you represent this area in the Mattsu Borough means a lot listening to you, and you almost sounded a little disappointed when you said there was no burnout cars to be found.
Oh, no, not at all.
No, I just but anyway, I'm pleased to see I'm pleased to have this before us, and I'm happy to hear your voice and have you weighing in on this. Thank you.
Through the chair, thank you very much, Representative Johnson. I wish I could take credit for what went on at Jim Creek, but that was actually before my time, and I have supported the development since I became an assembly member that has helped out. But I didn't have anything to do with the development of the actual plan of the Kinnick River.
Mm-hmm. Assemblyman Sykes, we have another question from Representative
I just Rauscher. Wanted to thank you for your testimony. I also want to thank you for the work you've done in our community. Appreciate your work.
Thank you.
And I hope that the committee can support this bill and the rest of the legislature as well. So thanks a lot for having making time for me.
And continuing from Mr. Sykes, Representative Parrish.
Assemblyman Sykes, first, thank you for being here. Thank you for your advocacy on this. And I'm reading over your resolution. Whereas the community of Sutton provide its own resources and funds to clean up and monitor the Jonesville area, I got to say that's commendable. That's a great example of a community stepping up to the plate. My main concern with the Jonesville public use area is when we look back at the Kinnick River public use area fiscal notes, and there was an earlier one which ended up running just shy of $200,000 the first year, $150,000 the next year, and less than $100,000 stabilized after that. The second fiscal note, which was more than $350,000, more than about $330,000, then just shy of $270,000 in the years after that. I guess I'm wondering, is the community of Sutton still going to be able to how much of the fiscal responsibility are you prepared to bear for the Jonesville public use area?
Well, I believe that the main things that we can contribute is personnel and community involvement. Representative Rauscher might have a better take on what they do have, and they do have revenue sharing funds, but I can't speak that they would want to use them. Those each proposal has to be done on its own merits. I think at the Kinnick public use area there were some major items, and they do actually have that staffed several days a week at the present time. A shooting range was put in there, and that wasn't cheap. It was well done, and it wasn't cheap to do. Some of the trail improvements are things that can be pretty cost-effective contracts, or sometimes the borough has equipment and expertise to do it. But by and large, we've been very successful at getting user groups interested in upgrading the area. A lot of the people who live nearest the Connect public use area actually sort of patrol it. I know that Patty and Kenny Barber have really gone up to the rifle range, and if people haven't cleaned up or have mistreated the area, they've let them know. They've said, look, you know, you got to clean up your stuff or don't bother to come over here. And it's, I don't know what all the fiscal notes were, but I do know that a lot of infrastructure went in at Connect public use area that might not immediately go into this area. And when you're talking about a campground, the area has pretty much been already graded around Slipper Lake to be a very cost-effective installation, if that's what they decide to do with it. I don't know what the plan will be, but that's something that has been looked at. So I don't know what the financial commitment would be. I know that you have budget problems, and we are starting to enter into those problems ourselves. And I think it's just going to have to be that we get the management plan in place and then see how we can make it work, and that's probably going to be funded on an as-needed basis.
Okay. Representative Parrish?
I just wanted to say thank you, and again, I commend your community engagement.
I do have a question. This is Chairman Josephson, Co-Chairman Josephson. Mr. Sykes, you said that you personally did not oppose two amendments, and our amendments are marked D dot something. Can you tell me the D dot numbers you as Mr. Sykes, did not oppose?
I don't have that copy with me, but they were the ones that trail developer, Mr. Scott Lapine, spoke to and said that there were two sections that would allow more flexibility if they were in the management plan rather than in the legislation. And my personal opinion was that it didn't make a lot of difference, but that there probably would be more flexibility if it were in the plan.
Okay.
I don't have that in front of me.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Sykes. We're going to move on to people who've not testified, because that's the principle of public testimony. And so I'm going to go to Al Barrett. Mr. Barrett or Barrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, my name is Al Barrett. I reside in Fairbanks, and I'm representing myself. And I always appreciate these special use areas. They include trapping. And as the co-chair really realizes that, you know, sponsoring or supporting trapping comes along with a lot of issues. And I think the legislature has an opportunity to recognize existing or historical trap lines and alleviate some of the pet owner trap line issues that are going on. And I wrote an email to the committee explaining that concept, and I was hoping that there would be some consideration to, instead of waiting for the problem to happen, to take a proactive and preventive measurements to alleviate those difficulties of who can trap where and who can walk a dog where. And that's what I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you. Any questions for the testifier? All right. Moving on, we'll go to Mark Bertels or Bertels.
Hello, this is Mark Bertels, and greetings to the House Resource Committee co-chairs and committee members. And I'm calling this evening in support of House Bill Number 6. And I'm also aware that the Resource Committee is aware of the impact of the Jonesville area, on our community. I've been living in Sutton for over 40 years, raised a family here. Currently, I'm serving on the Sutton Community Council. I've been the council chair for almost 8 years now, and I wanted to testify as to the process that we took to get to the point we're at now. And we did this over a year ago. We decided that this was way beyond anything we can include in our Sutton Comprehensive Plan, and as the Sutton Council Chair, I asked George to start the Jonesville Slipper Lake Action Committee, and this was a very intensive process for us. We sought the help from the Mat-Su Borough Planning Department to help train prepare us for the organization of this committee and the milestones we were looking to achieve. This was a committee that started over a year ago. George Rauscher was the chair of the committee, and we included a lot of stakeholders during the committee process, and that included Department of Natural Resources, Department of Public Safety, troopers, Mat-Su Borough, some of our neighboring community councils, outdoor clubs, Outdoor Council, Alaska Center for the Environment. One of the reasons that we've been successful with the support that we have for this bill is based on the consensus of multiple use that the stakeholders shared during the committee process. And I do have to give George Rauscher kudos, because he spent a lot of time as committee chair. The reason why I asked George to become the chair of the committee is because this goes a lot further back. When George was the chair of the community council, he spent a few years researching the situation and getting very involved, and so it was just a natural to ask George to be chair of the council. Now, as far as the amendments go, I would just like to mention that as far as amendments to trails, new trails, I would like to leave this bill open for the development of any new trails that could alleviate areas that have high usage or impact from specifically all-terrain vehicles. And I did want to mention coal, too. A lot of the stakeholders that participated in the committee process agreed that we are a resource extraction region here, and the community of Sutton has an overwhelmingly majority of support for the coal industry, specifically Usabelli Coal Lease. So I would not like to compromise this bill with any amendments that would break up our consensus for multiple use. And I'd like to interject something, too. I happen to be babysitting a 9-week-old German Shepherd and a 11-week-old Welsh Corgi, so if it gets noisy on my end, you'll know why. they've been wrestling a lot, but anyway, that's what I wanted to share with the committee. That this was a very long, intensive process. We got a lot of support. I know you're aware of the problems that we have. You just heard testimony from Assemblyman Jim Sykes, which reflected the support that we got from the borough. And
all right, Mr. Pertels?
I'd like to see this bill pass, because not only is it an issue of public safety, it's an issue of necessity. We just got so popular here, it's created such an impact that it's something that we can't ignore anymore.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. I do have a question for you. This is Andy Josephson.
Sure.
You talked twice about the importance of multiple use, and we have a new amendment today that says nothing in this act – would restrict or prohibit mineral exploration and development activities in the Jonesville public use area. And that seems to put mineral and exploration development above all other things, in sort of in a first place in the pecking order. Would that, is that something you'd rather leave to the management plan for a later day where people can testify and DNR would draft a management plan?
Well, with all due respect, Representative Josephine, we've been through that process already as far as the compatibility of resource extraction. And we've been experiencing the compatibility of these different activities for decades. We've successfully, to the point where, up until the point where we had so many visitors, it wasn't a matter of resource extraction that was the issue. It was public safety and basic management and protection of the environment for all these uses. But
Mr. Bertels?
Yes.
I appreciate you know a lot about this, but I just want to hone in on my question. There's no amendment or anything I've seen in the bill that says nothing in the bill would restrict or prohibit dog walking or berry picking. It just says in this amendment nothing in the act would restrict or prohibit mineral exploration and development. Does that swing the language too far toward mineral exploration and development? That's my question.
Well, in my opinion, Representative Josephson, I would say no.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yes, Representative Wesley.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and through the Chair. Mr. Bertel, I've heard you during this testimony, and there was the allusion over there that what you were concerned about were unintended consequences to any of these actions here, so please correct me if I misheard that. And to follow on in there, is there a local planning commission there or a land use committee that you folks normally use? Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. I haven't heard anything that, from what you just mentioned, that would, be in opposition to what I testified to. But my emphasis is that the reason why this process has got us to this House Bill 6 is because the consensus of all the stakeholders, all the users, including, you know, the commercial resource development, and I just didn't want to see that compromised is my concern.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Now we're going to move on to Representative Rauscher.
Through the chair, I just want you to know that Mark Bertels is invited testimony, so if you need to ask him questions later, would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay.
And I would ask, apparently we have some DNR officials, and I think I appreciate their attendance because as to one question, I think it'll be straightforward on some amendments that will come up in short order. I need their guidance and opinion. Okay, so now I see two people who've asked to testify, but they both testified on the 6th of February. In fact, I listened to their testimony this morning on audio. So I don't, and we haven't changed the bill. There's no argument like that. Of course, we may start to change it, but that's the process. So I'm not going to take that testimony. I'm going to go to the Barbers who have not testified. Mr. Barber or Ms. Barber? Mrs. Barber.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
My name is Kenny Barber, and I live out at the Butte. And I support HB 6, and I also support the amendments that George Rauscher made to this bill.
Okay.
The other reason that I support it is because it's the time that happens in Sutton. One of the representatives from the borough before gave me a lot of crap, excuse my language, about the Connecticut River Public Use Area pushing people over to them. and creating a problem. Well, it's like I told her, you're going to have to go out there and do your own public use area and figure it out. The public use area really works good out to Connect River. I mean, there's some people that don't agree with it, but it's sure a lot better than it used to be. And the other thing that I'd like to see added to this, and I don't know if this is where you put it or if you put it in with the bill when it's done, but anyway, I'd like to see an amendment to this thing that states that if there's any closures of any trails in that area or, say, reroutes, it has to be a reroute around the closure before you close the trail. In other words, if you have a problem there with a bridge, say, or a stream crossing or a mud hole, you can't just go in and close the trail down because that's there. You have to allow the public to go around it in some way. So basically, that's all I got to say on the bill.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Barber? Seeing none, we'll go to Mrs. Barber. Patty Barber, tell us your name, please.
This is Patty Barber.
Okay.
And I support HB 6 as submitted and amended by Representative Rauscher. The Jonesville public use area will help to remedy many of the problems that residents of Sutton are experiencing. We live in the Butte and supported the Connect River public use area. Since the public use area was established, many of the problems we were experiencing have been resolved. We hope the Jonesville public use area will be as successful. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no questions for the Barbers, that closes public testimony for essentially all time, at least for this committee. It has another committee referral. And the bill is back before us. And to be, is there anybody in the room who has not testified before on this bill? I don't see anybody. So, and for the record, to be clear, we still have the original bill. It's version D as in David before us. And what are the wishes of the committee? For example, are there amendments?
Through the chair.
Yes.
The amendments that I had were offered to me from Mental Health Trust. Okay. They said that they wanted certain elements of the land up there protected, and they offered those amendments to me. Those are the ones that I submitted to you guys. Now, they're not coming from me, but they thought that those protections needed to be put in there. I met with your staffer today, Megan, and she explained to me that I didn't have to bring them forward, but because I'm not a spokesman for the Mental Health Trust, okay. But I probably will just leave them there to be talked about for now. I'm not pushing those in any one direction. I'm just letting you know. I put them out there because Mental Health Trust and the DNR thought that there were reasons that they needed to protect their interest in that land. And since they're out there, and I don't really want to say, okay, well, let's reconvene some other time when they can do it themselves some other way. For the sake of discussion, let's just do it today. Does that make sense? I hope it does.
Yes and no. I mean, first of all, I wouldn't feel sheepish about someone recommending amendments. That's probably the one millionth time that's happened in the history of the Alaska legislature.
Okay.
So join a famous club. But without the offering of a motion to amend, there can't be an amendment.
Oh, well, I'm going to offer it so we can talk about it.
Okay.
So I offer amendment D1.
Okay.
D2.
All right. Are you waiving D1? Just so I
don't have a D1.
There's one on the back of here. It's just a typo.
Three for these.
At 6:40, Representative Rauscher was contemplating offering what's been marked as D.1. Is that an amendment you want?
No, I withdraw that amendment, sir.
All right. And let me say that I have no idea, and this is why I wanted Mr. Goodrum or Mr. Parsons available, what Section 9 means. And if that hurts the Jonesville district because you've got a hole in it, that doesn't sound so good to me, but it's up to you.
To the chair, in response to your question, it will be addressed in another amendment later, D5.
Got it.
So, and D1 is a, it is not needed, and you're right.
Okay.
Without D9, there would be, I mean, without Section 9, there would be a hole in the map, and later in amendment number D5, it will correct that.
All right, and I still need Mr.
Curtis.
I still need Messrs. Goodrum and Parsons to be available for that amendment.
Sure.
Representative Johnson.
Okay. So, I just have a really quick question on the public testimony. If I know you said you skipped over a couple of people that had testified before.
Mm-hmm.
My question was, is if they had called in to speak to the amendment, would you not hear from them, or how exactly are you going to take that?
My fast answer is that simply isn't done. I mean, I suppose it could be done, but there's no protocol for that generally exists, because we would have, for example, we had litigation involving oil and gas with 60 or 80 amendments. We would have to hold a public hearing on all 80. And so I don't know how that would work, unless I'm wrong. Representative Tarr, do you agree with that?
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair. And what we'll do is we do the amendments as a committee. It's possible if we change the bill significantly that we would want to do a second round of public testimony to hear people respond to the changes. So that's how that would happen, rather than on individual amendments. We don't take public testimony on individual amendments.
I've never seen that happen. Yes, Representative Johnson.
Thank you. I thank you for the clarification. I just thought that there was some significant enough changes that I'm reasonably sure that some of the people are actually calling in to speak to the bill as amended. So I just wanted to clarify, that's all.
And for the record, I appreciate your comment, but I sort of doubt that's the case, because they may not know what the amendments are. They may have looked online, and some of them testified this evening about amendments. So I don't want to unduly suggest they don't know every element of the bill. They may know more about it than I do, but I think it's murky at best to know what it is they wanted to speak to. Okay, amendment number D2. Representative Rauscher, do you choose to offer this?
Yes, I'd like to move that amendment D2 be offered.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you.
Please speak to your motion.
This amendment was also given by Mental Health Trust Land Office and clarifies the fact that subsurface rights in the area may be leased for development. It adds language to the bill that would allow for continued mining where Mental Health Trust has leases. When Menifee with the trust is supposed to be on the phone,
he is.
Help answer this question.
All right. That seems like a reasonable request. Mr. Menifee.
This is Wynn Menifee.
Can you explain Representative Rauscher's D2 amendment? Is there something that you would like to speak to?
Yes. And just for the record, this is Wynn Menifee. I'm the Deputy Director at the Trust Land Office, which is an office within DNR, but we serve the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. So page two, line two, right now the bill says that it allows, in the purpose section, continued motorized access for miners and owners of private property in the Jonesville Public Use Area, but it doesn't speak in the purpose of the fact that this is a mineral exploration and development area that has existing mineral coal leases on it, and that the actual subsurface mineral estate is the dominant estate in Alaska. And what this does is it clarifies that we're not talking about just motorized access to miners, but a full suite of what could be included in mineral exploration and development, because it might be much more expensive than just motorized access.
Okay. Representative Rauscher, anything you want to add to that?
No, I'm good.
All right. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. And for Mr. Winfrey on the phone, I just want to understand this a little bit better in terms of the compatibility of these uses. And so it sounds like there's some existing leases, and the motorized access, that part made sense in the original version of the bill. And so if we make this change, does the potential exist for it to sort of undermine the purpose of the public use area if there's a significant development? Or is that sort of, we cross that bridge when we get there, for your point of view?
And no pun intended by undermining the purpose, I get what you were saying. The aspect, through the chair, Representative Tarr, the issue here is that with the mineral leases, there could be development at some point in time that's lawfully authorized, and it might be that there's a large pit there. There could be structures that get put in. There could be things that actually obliterate certain trails because of the mineral development. This is possible in this area. It doesn't, as you say, undermine or doesn't stop the public use area, because as long as that other use within the area still could happen, that's fine. But what it does clarify is that if you have a mineral lease that is starting to develop into a full-blown mine, that the recreational uses of the public use area don't supersede the mine that already is a legitimate ownership right.
Mm-hmm. And a follow-up, Mr.
Yes,
Chairman?
Yes, Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really appreciate that explanation, because that makes a lot of sense in terms of the ownership, you know, with the leases right now, and then this would be the use added on top of it. And I guess just for a little greater detail, when the management plan is developed, do you anticipate that there'd be provisions to address this? For example, if something like that did happen where there's a major development or a lot of infrastructure, I mean, I imagine that you know, the developer of that would want that area, you know, not available to individuals who would be recreating there, for example, as a liability issue. But all of that could be fleshed out through the management plan.
Representative Tarr, through the chair, because I won't be writing a management plan for this, Money Mine and Water will. Brent Goodrum will probably answer that question, but I'll give you my perspective, is that there is the aspect that when a lease is issued through what's called SMACRA, the program that permits mines, coal mines, there will be all sorts of conditions in a permit to mine, which will deal with how it interacts with other uses in the area. But I have to say, when push comes to shove, if a coal seam is going down underneath a recreational trail, the mineral lease, if it's a lawful lease, it is going to conceivably mine through the recreational trail. There might be offset costs, as in the mining company may very well provide another trail as an alternative or things like that, but I can't guarantee that that comes through permitting through Mine Line of Water. So at this point, I'll turn it over to Brent Goodrum so he could further answer about the management plan.
Hi, good evening. For the record, this is Brent Goodrum. I'm the director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. I anticipate in the management plan that issues like that would come up and would be addressed in some manner. Obviously, we're going to rely upon statutes and regulations as far as what rights exist and how we honor those rights. But I believe it would be some of the topics that would be considered within management plan that we would have to develop.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that, because just the public safety concern is my only issue. I just want to understand how that would be addressed. For example, where I grew up in Ohio and Pennsylvania, where there's a lot of old mining sites, those areas are frequently visited by hikers, and, you know, there may or not be reasons to be concerned if there's old equipment or that kind of thing. So just trying to anticipate if any of those things would come up, but it sounds like those could be addressed in the management plan. Thank you.
If I may, for either, I think for Mr. Goodrum, the amendment that's been proposed would strike the language that says that the management plan shall allow additional, quote, additional public uses of the area determined by the commissioner to be compatible with this section. Given that we just heard testimony from the Sutton Community Council president about the importance of mixed use, although he seemed to say that he seemed to say, if I heard him right, that he wanted to give priority to mining above all other things. That's what I think I heard. I'd have to hear it again to make sure he understood my question. But why wouldn't we, let me rephrase, why would we want to strike subsection B, it's really 4B, line 4, page 2? Because if we do that, I want you in your management plan deliberations to have lots of tension and competition. And if we strike capital B line 4, you'll have less, won't you?
Mr. Chair, any type of plan dealing with the use of state land already has healthy tension involved in it. I believe what the proposed amendment does is help clarify some of the higher uses that are already found within statute and our understanding of the dominant estate being the mineral estate. And so I don't know that by striking Section B, public uses which are generally allowed are already considered activities that we will consider within our planning process. And so I don't know that those are diminished any by highlighting the other uses associated with mineral development.
Okay. Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'll remove my objection.
All right. I would like to place an objection and ask the mover, Representative Rauscher, if he would treat as a friendly amendment treating the language which is now B in the bill, the language I referred to, as C in your amendment. So your amendment would read as it reads, but it would have a C that says additional public uses of the area determined by the commissioner to be compatible with this section. In my view, that furthers the
through
tension.
The chair, yes. Could we ask the DNR if they would allow that? I see no problem.
Well, we can ask them, but they're not the legislature, and I know that they...
I don't want their permission. I just want their opinion.
Okay, I think we just got it. And
including it also? Or
effectively, because I said, what's wrong with B? And for the record, that's line 4 and 5 of page 2 of version D. And Mr. Goodrum said, we already take into consideration public uses. That was the essence of what I heard him say. I mean, one could argue, if they do, what's the harm in putting it in the bill? Representative Birch.
Yeah, I don't think our objective here should be introducing tension in basically what seems to me like a pretty reasonable approach. The fact is that there's a differing land interest on the surface and the subsurface. We have that in in basically every piece of regional corporation land has got a village corporation and a regional corporation. You have surface and subsurface, and our objective should not be to increase the level of tension between the surface owner and the subsurface owner. I think our objective is to basically convert this from kind of a Mad Max, otherworldly environment to something this well managed. And I think we've got testimony here that it's his head in the right direction. We got a unanimous opinion out of the Matsu Assembly. I mean, this is good business. Let's get on with it and be done.
Well, let me just respond to that. We have a unanimous opinion to approve House Bill 6 as written, not as amended. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I don't pretend to know the Jonesville area 1/100th of the way Representative Rauscher does, but I do watch KTUU and read the newspaper, and my impression was there are vast numbers of people in the Matsu who want to dialogue and have a debate about mining in the Jonesville area. I mean, I don't know what the polls say, but I think there are thousands of them that live in that district that are concerned about incompatible uses and lifestyles. And so I'm just trying to ensure that the management plan team, looks at this and says, yeah, there's this other thing we got to think about.
Well, I personally will defer to the sponsor of the resolution that we're looking at this evening.
With all respect, a brief it is.
Sure. By my aid that I've misread this, which can happen, and lines 4 and 5 would not be deleted. I should have caught that. So Amendment 1 is before us. The objection is mine, and I lift my objection. Are there any other objections to Amendment 1? Amendment 1 is adopted.
It was Amendment 2 we're talking.
Sorry.
About.
I've been told by I'm new to this too, ladies and gentlemen. I'm told by our clerk, Ms. Tillingham, that B.2 is Amendment 1.
Okay, I apologize.
Her and posterity's record keeping. So now we move to what I'm going to call Amendment 2, which is D.3. Representative Rauscher.
Yes. At this time, I would like to move amendment. Going back, I'd like to move Amendment 3, D3.
Okay. Which the clerk will describe as Amendment 2.
Which we'll describe as Amendment 2.
You might
2.
Want to write the number 2 next to it. Any objection to Amendment 2?
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
This amendment, my office worked with Representative Josephson's staff. This amendment cleans up a penalty section of the bill starting on page 6, mm-hmm. line 3 through 9. This clarifies the penalty section, gives the court time to adopt any kind of fees for violations or their ruling there. And the new language deletes the statute reference to arson in the third degree, which is burning a vehicle, inserts new transition language, which provides the Supreme Court 90 days after the DNR adopts any regulations to issue the bail fee schedule for violations. This is important because violations will be developed as a part of the management plan, which has not been created yet. And I just urge this amendment.
Representative Tarr, do you sustain your or keep your objection?
Mr. Co-Chair, could we ask DNR just to weigh in on this a little bit about the penalties and the changes made here?
We can, or there may be someone, I thought there was someone, who has that skill set. Not that they don't, I'm not saying that they don't, but I would invite either really Mr. Goodrum or Mr. Parsons. And I'm assuming that Marty Parsons is a gentleman. I apologize if he's not. But if either of them would like to respond to Representative Tarr's question, which was, what is the department's opinion of the penalty revision in Amendment 2 marked D.3?
Yes, for the record, this is Brent Goodrum, Director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. Through the chair, basically what this provision allows us to do is, as we go through the management plan, we then can also create regulations for a sale schedule, which essentially are things that can be enforced. And with it, there are sometimes monetary fees that could be imposed for violations of those regulations that could be enforced either by the troopers or by peace officers. And so essentially this allows us to gives us enforcement authority within a public use area that is created by the legislature. It's critically important to have the ability to enforce rules. Otherwise, those rules won't be followed. And so that's simply what this provision will seek to do.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Tarr, follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And so I just want to be clear, because we've talked about sort of the lack of funding going along with this. So, you know, this puts in the penalty provisions that, you know, quote-unquote gives you this enforcement, but really it would be the responsibility of the troopers, for example, to administer the law in that for these violations.
Through the chair, Representative Tarr, this is Director Goodrum. To the ability that the troopers are in the area, or other peace officers or other partnership groups that could help ensure that, well, obviously the troopers or peace officers would be the only ones that could issue citations based upon regulations, but generally that is correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And for the committee's knowledge, my able aide has produced for me from the Rules of Administration, which is in the Court Rules book, it's something I'm a little more familiar with, a schedule of penalties for the Kinnick River Public Use Area. It's Rule 43.10, and it says all sorts of things. If you leave a vehicle unattended for more than 72 hours, you can be fined $300. Can be. And that's actually one of the stiffer ones. If you discharge a firearm at an unauthorized target, you could be charged $50. Maybe I shouldn't have read that one. But the point is, this is essentially what the bail schedule would look like. Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess my question goes along those lines. Within the bill here, in that section that we're discussing, it talks about the provisions that we'll make if we pass this and what goes into Alaska statute. It also says you would be guilty of a violation as defined in Alaska Statute 1181-900. And before we add additional language here, I'd like to know if maybe we have an answer or what that definition and what those violations are in that. Seems a bit redundant, in my opinion, if we already have violations that are well defined in statute and we've already identified those in the bill. I don't want to add additional sections to the bill.
I think I know the answer because I used to practice criminal law, and I think what we'd find in 1181-900 is it's not like what I've just read from the administrative rules. It's more sort of a blanket definition of what a violation is. I could be wrong, but I think that's a definition section. It doesn't lay out a list of penalties. I think I'm right about that. Is that satisfactory, or should you want to look at the statute? Or
I thought we may. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I thought we may have someone online who may be able to answer that for us. I believe we have some people that authored these. They probably have that answer.
I don't know who authored this.
Mr. Brent Goodrum, Director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. Mr. Chair, you are correct. It's just basically definitions.
The concern I had, this is Representative Josephson for the record, is that the way it was written before, unless I misread it, and that happens, it seemed to say whatever you do in Jonesville, unless it's arson, is fine. That's sort of what it seemed to say. And it couldn't have meant that, because you could really hurt someone, and the regular Title 11 penalties should apply. And so I think it's been fixed to my satisfaction. I'm not objecting to it, but we're just discussing it to understand it. Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted it on record.
Sure.
That's what we were doing.
You bet.
So thank you.
Okay. Do you keep your objection?
Mr. Chairman, I will remove my objection.
Okay. So Amendment 2, I'll say it again, marked D.3, and I'll let Ms. Tillinghast sort that out. Is there any further objection to Amendment Number 2? Seeing none, Amendment Number 2 passes as part of the bill. Now we move to Amendment 3. Now that is mine, and I'm not going to be offering Amendment 3, and Ms. Fillinghast, therefore, it is not Amendment 3, is it? If I'm not offering it, something else might be, but that isn't. Okay. All right.
D.6.
D.6 has been waived or withdrawn. Okay. Amendment D.7.
That's Amendment 3.
Point of order?
Yes.
Is D5 not the next one in line?
Well, I apologize.
I don't care. I just wanted to know.
Let's have an at ease. Have before us Amendment D.5, which will be Amendment 3. Representative Rauscher.
I would like to move that we, I'd like to move Amendment number D.5, which would be Amendment number 3.
All right, I'll object for purposes of discussion. Mike, I have a question for Mr. Goodrum about this amendment. Sorry. Mike, I was very rude. You go ahead.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. This amendment corrects a pair of errors in the land description itself. If you look at the proposed legislation, it has a list, and that list correlates with sections of property, and this actually corrects those sections to be correct. The original language description goes from Section 8 to Section 10. If you look at the map, there is a Section 9 included. But the description in the legal description, which I actually asked that we would pass the original bill, doesn't have a Section 9 in there. It was omitted by mistake. So, second correction, page 5, line 8, deletes 21, which is included in the original bill also.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. Mr. Goodrum, it's Representative Josephson here, and I'm just curious, in these situations, we're putting a lot of faith in you, and I'm happy to do that. I'm curious about why, for example, in the bill, there is, under the amendment, we would delete Section 21. So whatever Section 21 is, goes away. And there are other sections, presumably 22 through 30, that aren't noted. So, you know, I'm sure there's an easy explanation based on the plat or the deed or whatever it is. Can you explain?
Through the chair, this is Director Brent Goodrum. Obviously, the inclusion of Section 9. Needs to be included as it makes the unit a whole unit. This is the first that I've actually seen of D.5, and if Section 21, if the sponsor chooses to drop it and it's one of the exterior sections in that area, the bill sponsor is able to do that. Provided that it meets or makes a contiguous block, I would have no objection to that.
Well, this is Representative Josephson again. I guess I need the only map I have. Yes, Representative Rauscher.
With your permission, at ease.
Yes, at ease. I think the last question was mine, Co-Chair Josephson's, and I'm satisfied as to the whys and wherefores. So we have before us Amendment 3. There was an objection. It was mine. I lift my objection. Any other objection to Amendment 3? Seeing and hearing none, Amendment 3, marked D.5, is adopted. Now we go to the last set of amendments, You should have in your packet an amendment that is marked D.6, and I'm not going to offer that amendment. And you should have next amendment D.7. And I'll move D7. It should be amendment marked amendment 4. And
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
All right. So thank you, Madam Co-Chair. The reason I've offered this, and I may withdraw it, the reason I've offered it is it reassures that any continued motorized access for minors and owners of private property would be done in a compatible way. But we already have, as we've seen, we've kept the subsection B, which is now going to be subsection C in the revised version after the previous amendment. And I think I will, one moment.
Eddie's.
Draw amendment 4. In the packet, you will then see something marked D.8. I'm not offering that. You'll next see amendment. Ms. Dillingham, should I mark this as 5 or 4? 5. You'll see amendment 5. Yes. Just one moment. In Amendment 5,
you need to move the amendment.
I move Amendment 5.
Object for purposes of discussion.
I would like to have Amendment 5 treated as only offering an amendment for lines 5 through 7. In other words, it's the middle third of the amendment. So, actually,
this is, yes. Mr. Chair, this yes. is D.10, is that correct?
Yes, and let me withdraw my earlier statement. It is D.10. It's marked as Amendment 5. And what I'm not offering is the first third where it says delete off-road, insert all terrain. So I'd like to speak to my amendment if there's an objection.
Mr. Co-Chair, I think we should do a conceptual amendment okay. to delete that section. In fact, I'll offer a conceptual amendment to delete lines 1 through 3, basically lines 1 through 4 of this amendment.
Any objection to the conceptual amendment? Conceptual amendment number 1.
Can you restate what you were doing? Thank you.
Yes, Representative Rauscher. So conceptual amendment number 1 would delete lines 1 through 4 of the amendment under consideration, which is amendment number 5, so that the remaining portion would be the amendment under consideration.
And one follow-up, if I could, with Chairman Josephson. In 7 of your amendment, number 5,
mm-hmm. On line 7, you mean?
Line 7 of yes. your amendment, I'm sorry.
Which I haven't spoken to yet. Right, go ahead.
Should I wait? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Excuse me, can I, mm-hmm. may I,
my
Mr.
Fault.
Chair?
Yes.
Please, point of order. Not necessarily. I just don't know where we're at.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going through here. I see that, I don't know. Are we on the top? We might be calling it D5, but is the top of the page D.9?
No.
D.10.
No, D.9 is pulled. Originally, D.9
yes, yes.
is pulled. Okay, so now we're on original D10 has now become D5
amendment.
And now, yeah.
From 4 up is gone.
And so from 4 up, we're deleting that. Is that correct? I mean, we're not offered, has not been offered. Would
That's
that correct. Be
correct? Yes.
Okay. And then all the lines from 5 through 11 are...
Correct.
Okay.
Precisely.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, I've offered the conceptual amendment to delete those lines. As long as there's no objection to that conceptual amendment, then those lines will be deleted, and that will have the remaining rest of Amendment Number 5 under consideration. So...
Yes. So, my amendment... So yes.
We should...
Is any further objection to the conceptual amendment? Seeing none, it is adopted. I'll now speak to Amendment 5 as amended. My amendment is aspirational, as I indicated in a hearing, I believe, on the 6th of February. One might say there's no funding to enforce anything in this measure, and I'd like to talk about that at toward the end of this hearing. But one may say there's no funding for my aspiration here, but there's no funding for any of this. And what I'm told, and what the evidence I've seen reflects, is that there's existing damage and that the management plan should consider mitigating that damage and correcting that damage at the time that it's appropriate, both based on resources and treasure, and to minimize future damage. And so that's page 3, line 25. Then at the bottom, 25 and 26, I seek a deletion of the language noted. One moment, Eddie's. Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair, I would like to tighten this amendment up a little bit, and so I'm going to offer conceptual amendment number 2, and that would be to delete lines 8 through 11. And if a conceptual amendment number 2 is adopted, it would leave just that portion that has been discussed moments ago as the amendment under consideration.
Thank you. Any objection to the conceptual amendment number 2?
I object. Just to start the discussion.
Okay.
And in considering this amendment, Representative Rauscher, thank you. Our understanding is that there is the off-road motor vehicle options are existing uses within the public use area, and that it would probably that the people using that area would probably want to maintain the traditional uses. And so by deleting that, it won't interfere with anything that's considered a traditional use at this point and allow the management plan to fully flesh out those details.
Okay.
Representative Rutherford.
So my objection was for you to explain your deletion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. I withdraw my objection.
Any other objections to conceptual amendment number 2? Seeing none, yes, Representative Rauscher.
And so we're going to talk about 5, 6, 7, and 8 next?
Correct.
Thank you.
So we have a scaled-back amendment number 5 before us. Any further discussion about it?
In relation to 5, 6, 7?
Correct.
Yes. Line 7, it says to correct existing damage, if you put it in the sentence within the bill, avoid critical habitat, conduct trail rehabilitation to correct existing damage to minimize future damage. I guess that would need some explanation for me, because to correct existing damage, where's the sky? How high is it? And how deep is it? And how wide is it? Mm-hmm. And to what extent is it after the realization? And I I'm just not sure that in the management plan requiring damage that has already been incurred, whatever that definition may be, I can understand to prohibit future damage when you put in a trail or future damage when you're trying to locate certain objects which are within the public use area while creating the management plan. But just having that first part to correct existing damage, I don't know what that definition is and how far you could go with it to where the DNR can understand what you're telling them. I would like the DNR to chime in on what I just said.
Sure. And before we're going to do that, thank you, Representative Rauscher. Yep. I would note that concern could be true of just about every word here. So, for example, just before that, it says the management plan, the commissioner shall conduct trail rehabilitation. Well, how much? Where? When? So, I guess I would also ask, and we'll ask the commissioner, or rather the director, didn't at the Kinnick use area, didn't they do some correcting of existing damage? I assume they did, but I'll, Mr. Goodrum, Director Goodrum, do you have a thought on that language?
Yes, through the chair, Director Brent Goodrum. Obviously, this management plan is going to have a lot of things to consider. The current language, we would be looking at the plan and the things as they lay currently. To speak to the amendment that would talk about correcting existing damage and minimizing future damage, I think would add another layer to what needs to be considered and defined and potentially resourced within the management plan and actions afterwards. I know part of your question spoke to, have there been rehabilitation efforts of the land within the Kinnick, and there have been follow-on efforts to improve trail access and harden trail access. So as we have matured in that management of that public use area, we have been able to make improvements to the areas, working with other partner groups and users of the area, as well as with assistance from the legislature. I guess maybe I'll answer any follow-on question that you may have.
Yes, I mean, it sounds like, did I hear neutrality on this? Or neutral position?
Through the chair, the director, Goodrum, I think you probably heard what I said. Okay. It's not very clear.
All right. Representative Birch.
I think the concern here would be, falsely raising expectations. And when you say correct existing damage, as the sponsor had indicated, Mr. Chairman, I think it's, it kind of says correct existing damage. Well, that's in the eye of the beholder. And I think by the language that was in there that was proposed to be deleted in a way that minimizes, I think that speaks to the effort here. I mean, it's a no-dollar effort. I mean, there's not a big cost component here. We don't have the money to do it, but I think the objective here is certainly well intended. And I would be concerned about saying that you're going to correct existing damage, that somebody might read into that there's some major effort underway. At least that would be the way I would be looking at it. Thank you,
Representative Tarr.
Oh, I can defer. Representative Johnson had a question prior to me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I'm struggling a little bit with the intent or the desire. I know we all, I guess that's what my question will be, is what we have something before us that is an amazing something, because I haven't heard one person testify against it, and it's been in the works for years and years. I appreciate your tenacity at digging into this. But we still can't really seem to find the problem. And I think to insert this wording creates a problem. And I think we're like a problem in search of a, I mean, we're in a solution in search of a problem here. And I guess I just cannot understand where we're going. And I guess that would be my question is what are we trying to accomplish?
Is that rhetorical or?
No, that's the question, I guess.
All right, so the answer would be we're trying to, what I'm told is that this area is seriously damaged and that an outhouse, for example, was shot up and can't be used and cars are on fire. And I'm trying to correct existing damage and minimize future damage. That's where I'm going. Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Narrowly speaking and narrowly reading, this is referring to trail rehabilitation. Rehabilitation itself implies repair. I don't know a meaning of the word rehabilitation that doesn't entail some degree of correcting existing damages. So I don't see that much as lost or gained one way or the other.
Okay. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this would be for Mr. Goodrum. You know, my concern here would just be if any of the existing damage presents a health and safety concern. And that was one of the reasons this language was of interest to me. And I'm just thinking of the Stampede Trail, for example, that we talked about. And, you know, there was the issue with some of the vehicles and the ruts left behind in the road. And at one point, I remember testimony that someone said they were, you know, several feet deep or something. And someone could, you know, be seriously injured from it. So I don't know the area well enough to know if anything that significant exists. However, I would be interested to hear what your feedback would be on whether there are any, you know, health and safety concerns from the existing damage, and if this, by, you know, specifically stating it, would ensure that we would for sure address those issues.
To the chair, Representative Tarr, I'd like to probably echo the comment that Representative Parrish made when it speaks to conduct trail rehabilitation, and this planning effort and the working with the community and the public and the stakeholders in the area, we're going to define what are the most critical issues, and obviously if there's health and safety issues, those will be some of the most important things that we work to help solve and put plans together that help improve this area and put it in a state that people and their family would feel comfortable and enjoy going to. And so I think whatever language ultimately is decided upon, those are going to be the intent of DNR, as well as those folks that we work closely with to craft this plan and find solutions that work for the area. And so that's probably my thoughts on the issue.
Thank you.
Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And since we're really, this is an area that's in its infancy, and I'm incredibly impressed with all of the information that I've had from the people that have participated in the Sutton Community Council and the amount of public meetings that were held and all those things to do. And I think since we're leading to a management plan, I can only imagine that the local participation and the wishes of the local community and their vision would provide enough information to create a management plan which would be very suitable for the area, which would remove the hazards from the area, and which would establish something that the community would be quite proud of, frankly, and quite frankly. And so I think for us to insert that language, I don't believe it's necessary at this time, because I honestly think the heart of the community is actually to develop this public use area so that it's kind of a bright and shining star for the community. I don't think this is necessary to insert. I actually think these folks have the right mindset in their heart to work towards really developing this into a kind of a diamond in the community. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other comments, Representative Rauscher?
Yeah, I would thank you, Chairman Josephson. I would like to just say that the community of Sutton they've hosted the area for quite some time. They've spent a lot of their own hard-earned town money working with community organizations like people that deliver cars and wrecking cars and pick them up and crush cars, and people that work with construction outfits to bring their equipment out there to dig up places which have buried washing machines and buried all kinds of equipment that's buried there and rusting. We have had Usabelli come out and donate their time, actually workers on the scene, crews, construction, actual workers on the scene, equipment on the scene. We have gotten a playground that we built that was worth $300,000 and $150,000 worth of donated materials. This is a community that if you're going to put something in here that's going to create a fiscal note and jeopardize it, I think you're on the wrong track. I think you're looking at a community that's going to deal with this stuff. And I know Representative Parrish has a question on how we're going to afford this. I'd like to address that some other time, but we can do it. We will do it. This is important to the houses that live right next to the yellow line, which borders this public use area, or the red line, or whatever that is. They don't want this place to be a place where people come and destroy it with four-wheelers. I think if this is going to cause a fiscal note, you really are on the wrong track, and we plan on dealing with it in a manner that you will be proud of.
All right. Let me just respond to that. The language on the wrong track, I think.
I apologize. Okay.
I'm not on any track. I'm just trying to be a good representative. I would note for the record, there's no fiscal note. First of all, fiscal notes can become fictions. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that departments are dishonest, but they've already testified that they're not going to do anything. And I would like, in fact, I've contemplated that we should consider signing a letter of intent that this be funded, and I may take this up in the subcommittee. I don't know whether that's the position of my caucus to offer an increment, but I would like to see this done properly. So I would only note that it's already not funded, and it already has the need for great funds. It's written all over the bill. So I'm not trying to redirect the bill. I'm the one who calendared the bill. Having said that, your objection is maintained, and so with no further comment, the clerk can call the roll. Mm-hmm.
This is for Amendment 5 as amended.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Representative Westway.
You're being asked whether you support the amendment.
No.
Representative Drummond?
No.
Representative Parrish?
No.
Representative Birch?
No.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Rauscher?
No.
Representative Tallarico?
No.
Representative Tarr?
Yes.
Representative Josephson?
Yes.
I have two yeas and seven nays.
Okay. All right, we move on to the next. We have D14, which I'm not offering, and we are at amendment. The next amendment would be number 6. Representative Rauscher, do you have another amendment?
Mr. Co-Chair, could we please take a brief at ease?
Sure. At ease. At 7:39. The record should reflect that Amendment 5 failed, I think, by a vote of 2-7 or 7-2, depending on one's perspective. So now we've heard that. Representative Rauscher, do you have any further amendments?
No, okay. Not at this time.
All right. So I'm going to move Amendment 14. And for the record, you should have received Amendment 14. It is a variation on Amendment 9, but very, very similar.
And Mr. Co-Chair, this is labeled D14, but
correct.
The actual number will be Amendment Number 6, I believe.
I think so. Okay, so we have Amendment 6, marked D.14, before us. I've moved it. Is there any objection to my amendment?
I'll object for discussion's sake.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me discuss the amendment. Essentially, what this amendment does is two of them I think are relatively small. That is line 6 and line 9, or really line 10. And the first you may or may not think is more significant. You may find all of it significant. Under the bill as written, it says the commissioner shall include all-terrain vehicles on line 17, the commissioner shall include all-terrain vehicles, aircraft, and watercraft. And I'm asking that... Just one moment. I'm asking that the words operating all-terrain vehicles on trails designated or constructed be noted. And here's why I'm offering that part, and I'll speak to the other two sections. What I'm hearing from people...
Mr. Chair, when it says delete all material, mm-hmm. Can you just tell me what all material is deleted?
Sure. I think what it's saying is that line 17 as written in version D, the version in before us, would disappear.
So all of B would go away?
Correct. And it would be replaced by all of lines 3 and 4.
That's what I'm curious about. Just line 17 or all of B, I guess is my question.
Just line 17.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
May I offer a conceptual amendment to the amendment?
I'll hear it. Yes. What's your conceptual amendment?
It would be to add the words aircraft and watercraft. Oh, I'm sorry. You've already got that.
Yep.
Withdrawn.
Okay. All right. So I'm speaking to my motion, and I'm speaking first to the first part of the amendment. There are three parts. And what I'm hearing from folks that live in the area is that they're aware that there's a lot of all-terrain vehicle usage, but some of them don't want it everywhere, and they're okay with a management plan that says we might designate certain areas, and or there might be areas that are constructed for that purpose. But they must be either designated by the management plan or constructed for that purpose. Now, I would think that if they were previously constructed for that purpose, they would be designated, but that would be up to the management plan. And so what this is, I think, designed to do is focus the folks writing the management plan on not necessarily allowing ATV use everywhere in the Jonesville public use area. Representative Rauscher.
Can I offer a friendly amendment or a conceptual that we group 5 through 10 on your amendment as okay and then just worry about 1 through 4? Would that work for you?
Works for me. Is there any objection to Representative Rauscher's conceptual amendment, which would, without objection, adopt...
Amendment number one.
Conceptual amendment number one, which without objection would adopt lines essentially 5 through 10. of Amendment 6. Any objection to that?
Just hold on one moment here.
Mr. Co-Chair, let's take a brief at ease, please.
We have the amendment in its original form before us. We're back on the record. Representative Johnson.
Yes, I wanted to speak to line 10 of the new amendment number 6,
okay,
where it says insert lawful.
Mm-hmm.
And so my only concern with that is that indicate, does that, and I'm not an attorney, so maybe you guys can help me out a little bit, but does that mean that other activities don't we consider all, like, legal trapping, legal fishing, legal hunting, all of these would be legal, right? Or those other ones could be unlawful and only we want lawful mining?
Well, my response would be that throughout the bill, the word that is used sometimes is, I believe I can find it, permitted. Believe at some point there's discussion of permitted mines, and I'm trying to have a reflection that that any mining that occurred there would be lawful mining. You're welcome to offer your own amendment, but that's what my amendment is. Yes.
Oh, sorry, he beat me.
Oh, I just encourage us to focus our efforts on line 1 through 4, as the rest meets with the approval of the bill sponsor.
Okay. So, Representative Wesley.
Yes, and to the chair. And so, lawful and permitted, in my opinion, would be the same thing. Mm-hmm. Or is there a difference here? And I'm seeing there may be an answer over here. Thank you.
Well, and I'll respond to that. I think we didn't use the word permitted because some of it doesn't require a permit. So we were trying to be mining friendly. And that's why we chose the word lawful. Representative Johnson.
Oh, I was just, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just wondering if there was somebody from DNR that could explain the differences.
I'm sure there is. Director Goodrum.
Yes, through the chair. We're in the section that's talking about, first of all, I'll speak to, we have no ability to see the amendment that's being spoken to as a can't find it on basis at this moment, but listening to the conversation about whether you're inserting the word permitted or lawful in front of the term mining, we're in the section that talks about, I believe the commissioner shall.
Yes.
And anything that we're going to either allow or permit or authorize, I mean, it would need to be a lawful activity. It would need to be something that's consistent with statute and regulation. If it's something that the commissioner shall, it wouldn't be something that is against the law, is what I would offer.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. So we have the objection, I believe, was Representative Rauscher's.
For discussion's sake, yes.
For discussion's sake. Any other comments about the amendment in toto, the total amendment? Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I kind of want to express the same concern about the management plan and the local people, but I don't want to be a broken record. I think they would probably deal with that. But I would like to offer a conceptual amendment, Mr. Chairman.
I'll entertain it.
On line 3 of the amendment, behind the word trails,
mm-hmm,
I would like to add the words or areas.
I'll object so we could hear from DNR about that addition of a word.
Director Goodrum, we have an amendment before us that says that here's what it would say if adopted. Well, it says it now, but the commissioner shall include the commissioner shall allow the Jonesville Public Use Area to be used for activities that include all terrain vehicles on trails and areas or areas designated or constructed for their use aircraft or watercraft. Do you do you take a position on that?
Yes, for the record, this is Director Goodrum. Again, I apologize that I don't have access to see it. I realize you just read it to us, and so on. Could I have you read it one more time?
Not a problem. The commissioner shall allow the Jonesville Public Use Area to be used for activities that include operating all terrain vehicles on trails or areas designated or constructed for their use, aircraft, and watercraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I realize that we're going to need to do the management plan, and all this language just makes potentially complicates what's already going to be a pretty challenging process. When you talk about trails that, or areas designated and constructed for their use, you're potentially very much narrowing through this legislation solutions that need to be driven to in this management plan, in which we will engage quite significantly with stakeholders and the public about what ultimately they feel is most important for them in that area. And to the degree that you can leave some flexibility and ability for the public process to drive to the solutions that those that participate want to achieve, I believe that that would be most beneficial to the planning process, and that's what I'll offer.
If I may respond, Andy Josephson, for the record. Director, wouldn't it be true, though, that at a public hearing, any member of the public could say, I want X trail designated, and if the case was a strong case, it would be, using whatever standard of review you use, you would implement that request. So if 20 individuals said, I want X trail designated, and one said, I don't want that, and the 20 made a stronger case, not just on numbers, but on policy, you might, at your discretion, so designate. So why is that different than what you're going to have to do anyway in the language of the bill?
Thank you for the question. This is Director Goodrum. The use of the word and in this situation would mean that it would have to be both designated and probably likely originally constructed for that specific use. And so many of the activities that currently take place out within this area, it probably occurred just by happenstance or various other activities. And so there probably wasn't a specific purpose for the construction of trails that are out there now. And so I would probably suggest that the word and means that you need to have both of those things to be true, which might complicate some of the planning effort once again.
All right. A question for you, Director, from Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, it is a small correction. I see other people around the table queuing in on the same. The language in the amendment is not, in fact, and. It's or. So it would read, include operating all-terrain vehicles on trails or areas designated or constructed for their use, aircraft and watercraft.
Thank you, Representative Parrish. For the record, Director Goodrum, or is a better word. It does, every bit that we put in here further constricts some of the solutions that could be arrived at through the management plan. Or is much better than and.
Any other questions for Director Goodrum? Representative Rauscher.
Through the chair, I think he was in his mind envisioning a prior amendment which has been changed. And that's just what happened there.
Representative Tallarico.
I was wondering, Mr. Chair, can I speak to my amendment?
Yes, and I apologize.
No, that's okay. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I think the one thing that I believe I clearly heard in testimony was this has kind of traditionally been an area where people may learn to operate an ATV. And I have actually had previous experience showing people how to operate an ATV when they've had no previous experience. And we talk about trails, and trails have a definite designation in my mind. But if that's the wishes of the people in the management plan and we adopted this, my previous experience is we definitely need an area that is clear of trees, cars, and anything else that anyone can drive into with an ATV when they are just kind of learning to operate one. So I just thought that this might be an addition that might be very handy for the folks in that area. Thank you.
Representative Rauscher.
And I will speak to what the representative from District 6 was talking about. In the Jonesville mine area, there is a large, vast area of coal reclaimed flat land with it could be, and I'm just going to guess, 300 feet wide and 8,000, it's 3,000 feet long, and then it shifts over to the left, and there's no trees, and it goes down in the gully, and it comes up on the other side, and motorhomes park there, and motorhomes have four-wheelers on trailers next to them. They unload there, and then they get to wherever the trail is across all of this playground. You're taking on a big challenge by biting it off in the PUE. I mean the PUA. But as representative from the other side of the Richardson Highway said, but also that I just caution us that if the community is not looking for a four-wheeler playground. Okay, they are not. They see a four-wheeler playground that they would like to make a little more sense of, and they need a little latitude. And I believe they have a very responsible attitude because of all of the different recreations that are listed here. And the community, while I was chair, we passed a $95,000 hiking trail renovation, okay, just to get to an area that would not go near any four-wheelers. And so we're working on just what you want to do here, mm-hmm. and we just need the latitude to make that happen and without hemming them in on things in this PUA that you can't see in the management plan. I just caution us in that respect. That's all.
Yes. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. And for Mr. Goodrum, if I'm understanding correctly, you're saying that adding or areas actually would make it potentially more difficult to achieve the solutions you hope for, because the more language we put in here that's that specific, the more it limits your options. And am I getting that right?
Through the Chair, Director Goodrum, Representative Tarr, I was speaking to you before a previous amendment that I was looking at language that I thought you were speaking to previously in a previous D.9. It spoke to on-trails designated and constructed for the use. I wasn't talking about the conceptual amendment offered on trails or areas. I think the or areas is more helpful than not. I'm just cautioning that the more prescriptive that we get in the legislation here in creating the public use area, the more challenging it potentially makes as we work on the management plan with the user groups to identify those types of activities and how the public and the stakeholders and the partnerships that are formed there want to see this area best utilized.
Thank you, Mr. Goodrum. And with that, then, Mr. Chairman, I'll remove my objection to the conceptual amendment.
All right. Any other objection to Representative Tallarico's two-word conceptual amendment that would add or areas between the words trails and designated on line 3
Justin.
Of the Amendment 6? I don't see any. So that conceptual amendment is adopted. We have the full amendment before us now. Are there any objections to the full amendment number 6?
I object.
You object. All right. Madam Clerk, we will take the roll as to Amendment 6.
This is on Amendment 6 as amended.
Correct.
Representative Tallarico.
Yes.
Representative Wesley.
Yes.
Representative Drummond.
Yes.
Representative Parrish.
Yes.
Representative Birch.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Rauscher.
Yes.
Representative Tarr.
Yes.
Representative Joseph.
Yes. So Amendment 6 passes 9-0. It was amended conceptually, and the record will so reflect. That brings us the, I don't believe there are any other amendments. We have the full bill before us. Discussion.
None.
Representative Johnson.
You know, I do. I have some discussion, and I know it's late, but I just really want to see this moved out of committee tonight. I think we've put a lot of time and effort into it, but this is nothing compared to what this community has went through to get this before us here tonight. So I want to, you know, I don't know that there's anyone out there and listening, but just to the whole people of Sutton, in that area, I want to commend Representative to my north for bringing this forward. I know it's been a labor of love for many, many, many people, and I think it'll be a labor of love that will continue for many, many, many years to come. So I think, I'm just really pleased to be part of it.
Representative Rauscher.
I thank you, Chairman Josephson. I would like to thank you because I know that your heart is in the right place. And I appreciate people that look out after my community. And I believe that's what you're doing. And I believe that's what you've done tonight. And I appreciate that effort. I appreciate your staff for helping you and me through this. I appreciate the young gentleman from the high school homeschool program that visited here last year. His name is Dylan Busby. That was a gallant effort of his to come here and explain the situation at hand. I appreciate everybody in this room for taking the time to argue. I should not use that word, to take the time to discuss for the benefit of the community of Sutton. I appreciate everybody who's on the phone. I appreciate everybody who's listening in. I appreciate the DNR, and I just also appreciate those for the last year back in Sutton who worked diligently to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate everybody's effort here. Thank you very much.
Any further discussion? Thank you, Representative Rauscher. Representative Parrish.
I think it's a great bill. I think it's a place where government very legitimately ought to step in and provide some services which haven't been happening. I do tend to think that down the line the zero fiscal note's going to prove to be a fiction. But I support spending government funds where it improves the quality of life for a lot of people. And I support having state employees there to make sure it happens correctly, so I'd like to thank the bill sponsor and the good people of Sutton and the folks at DNR.
Anyone else have any comments? All right, Madam Co-Chair, may we have a motion?
We may. I move that we move House Bill 6, and we're talking about 30-LS0105-D, version D, from committee with the two attached zero fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
As amended.
As amended.
Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, the bill moves. We will go off record. We need to sign the yellow folder that we all know about. Thank you for committing this time to this. We're adjourned at 8:06.